This is the GOAT Level Podcast with your host, the GOAT, the legend, the hero, Van Pugh.
You gonna respect the bird. And that is the word. All these rumors, all this talk about Jalen Hurts, about A.J. Brown. Bro, A.J. Brown had to pull up on WIP like Birdman on the Breakfast Club.
Damn!
He had to pull up like Debo on Craig's front porch. Like, come on, man. Come on, man. This is like, what, the second time A.J. Brown had to press the Philly media because stuff is coming out about him not being happy and potentially wanting to leave? He had to come on WIP and tell them he wants to be in Philly, and you guys on the media don't really support the team like y'all say y'all do. Man, okay, sometimes do I believe this guy is another Terrell Owens as far as the drama and the emotional outbursts and not really taking accountability sometimes? Okay, yeah, sure. But this guy wants to win. He's passionate. He's competitive. I think he's going to be fine at the end of the day. And it was a total team failure. See, we're pointing the fingers. Pointing the fingers. Especially pointing them at Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is the man. He brought my team back from 28-3.
Facts.
He outdueled Pat Mahomes in the Super Bowl, but the defense let him down. 3rd and 20 versus the Giants. Needed to have it. He did. He got it. Like, I could go down the list. 2-time champion with Alabama. Played a critical role in both of them, even though he was a backup the second time. Come on, man. Don't make me start preaching about Jalen Hurts, because he liked that. And I shouldn't have to write that. Come on, church. Come on, man. Jalen Hurts didn't throw for 4,000 yards, but he did just fine. He did just fine. He just missed 30 touchdowns, but he had a bunch of rushing touchdowns. Oh, you're going to make the tush-push excuse. But you still have to execute it. And don't forget the rushing touchdown against the Bills. That was clutch. And that was not a tush push. Just to let you know. It's a lot of chatter about the Eagles and what happened and how it fell apart. Everyone blamed coaching. I think I did too. But it was everyone. Everyone had a hand in it. It's a team game. The players didn't execute. The coaches didn't really adjust. It was everything. It was everything. And Jalen Hurts, he was praised for being stoic, for being focused, and not letting things get to him, not being too high, not being too low, and now he's criticized for it. See what happens when you start losing? People start disrespecting the bird.
Come on, man.
And that is absurd. I did blame the coaches just like everyone else on Twitter. I mean, come on. It's a mountain full of freaking Eagles Twitter mills. Of course, I'm going to hop on the bandwagon. But seriously, though, I'm done blaming the coaches. Everyone had a hand in it. Everyone had a hand in it. So now where do we go from here? We got an off season. They're about to start the combine. So hopefully Howie does his thing. Howie and whoever's on that staff does their thing. And they recruit the best players and study the right players and get some new talent in here. And also free agency. Like, you know what we need. It's mostly on defense. I'm going to be real with you. We could run it back with the same offense. I think on offense, you need to just build depth. You just need to add some depth at every position. Just depth. Because you don't know what's going to happen with these guys in the future. You don't know if their play is going to decline or they're going to get hurt. So just build depth on offense, on defense. Honestly, you can replace most of those guys. Basically, the guys that are not Jalen Carter. And maybe Jordan Davis, you can replace. I wish we could keep Hassan Reddick, but it don't look like we will. It is what it is. But we're probably going to keep a good chunk of those folks. I mean, if we're going to run it back with Slay and Bradbury, it looks like they're going to run it back with Slay and Bradbury, especially Bradbury. That's fine. These guys are veteran. They know what they did wrong. They know how the season ended. Maybe they can get it going. Now, the Chiefs franchise, LeJarius Sneed, and told him to go seek a trade. That's an option. You can go get LeJarius Sneed. Now, I didn't know much about Trent McDuffie, but him and Trent McDuffie, they made the best cornerback tandem in the league. I mean, McDuffie was first-team All-Pro, and LeJarius Sneed on some lists was All-Pro, and some lists he wasn't. But he was up there. He was up there with the best. And their pass defense was number 3 in the league. So I'll take any of that. I'll take anything from there. They're obviously they doing something right. But at the end of the day, I'm not too worried about Jalen. I'm not too worried about A.J. Brown. Because these guys are legit. And they know what they have to do to improve. And it's just a lot of work to do. Like, you just have to do better than we did last year. Okay? So, we replace the coaching staff. Probably pressure from the front office about that. So, replace the coaching staff. Players, I mean, there's going to be some new faces. But at the end of the day, we got our core. We got our core on offense and kind of on defense. We can run with that. I don't see why they can't contend for the Super Bowl next year. And I'm not just saying that because I respect the bird. And that is my word. They're going to be all right. They are going to be just fine. Also, I want to ask this question. I might make a part 2 about this in next episode. But I'm wondering, is A.J. Brown a Hall of Famer? And is he a better Eagle than Terrell Owens? Is he a better Eagle so far than Terrell Owens was? Those are my questions. My gut tells me he might need to do a little bit more to be a Hall of Famer. He had an obvious all-pro season his first year in Philly. Second year, close. He did some good things in Tennessee, but I think that was up and down because of injury. But he's still kind of young, so he can still, as long as he stays healthy, the sky's the limit. I think he's on track. If he retires right now, I don't think you can put him in the Hall of Fame, but, you know, he's getting there. And he could definitely earn some All-Pros, some more All-Pros in his future. So, if it ended right now, if his career ended right now, no, not a Hall of Famer. But looking at his future and his outlook, I think he could definitely be a Hall of Famer. Is it better Eagle than T.O.? They did about the same thing. They, you know, immediately improved the team. They kind of brought a little extra drama to the team with their emotion and their competitive drive. They both were, you know, all pro talent. I don't know. Well, I think AJ slightly better attitude than T.O. And I think he's getting paid correctly, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. My gut tells me that I will edge AJ Brown because he hasn't been sent home for conduct detrimental to the team. But also, I think he's going to stay past the two seasons he's been there. If AJ Brown kills it in year three, he's clearly a better Eagle than T.O. But that remains to be seen, and I hope he can stay healthy. For the most part, with the Eagles, he has been healthy. He has been healthy for the most part. It's a shame he got hurt at the end of the season, but I think that was a fluke. So he'll be back better than ever, and get ready for the bird. Because they coming.
I wake up motivated.
Now the Wizards, still trash. They terrible. And I'm sick. I want to root for this team. I'm still kind of rooting for this team. But this might be the worst Wizards team of all time.
Game over.
Since the mid-80s, there have been a handful of 19 to 24 win teams by the Bullets/Wizards. You got the end of the West Unsoul era, like before we got Juwan Howard and Chris Webber. You got the Kwame Brown rookie year, or right before we got Kwame Brown. Either way, we was turp. And that's on God. The end of the Arenas era, we had a terrible team. We had terrible teams at the end of the Arenas era, beginning of the John Wall era, before we got Bradley Beal. This team might be worse. And some of these games, they competed hard and they were in it. It's just they couldn't make a shot here. They didn't make a play here. They had a bad turnover there. It's just the way it is. We come out the All-Star break. We had momentum. You know, I was encouraged because they had some close games. And we almost beat New Orleans on the road without Kyle Kuzma because Denny went off. Denny gets hurt, I think, in the Denver game. Denny gets hurt. Lose by 40 against OKC.
Damn!
I know, right? Trash. Terrible. I mean, I'm happy for my brothers and OKC. I'm happy for my Sooner fans that are also Thunder fans. I'm happy for them that they got a good team and they built it so fast. But that was embarrassing for the Wizards. Like, this was a single-digit game when these guys played us in D.C. Okay, they're a slightly better home team, even though they lost to the Pistons at home. They lost to the Spurs at home. They're still a slightly better home team. I mean, we blew out the Pacers at home. We beat the Grizzlies at home. I mean, who else? I mean, we got 9 wins, right? So we beat the Grizzlies, beat the Pistons, beat the Spurs. We blew out the Pacers at home. I'm trying to count these wins because this is hilarious. We beat Charlotte. I can't believe I can name all these wins. That's crazy. We beat Charlotte. So we beat the Pistons, beat the Spurs, we beat Charlotte. We blew out the Pacers at home. We blew out the Hawks on the road, which is hilarious. We beat the Grizzlies at home. I think that's 5 wins, right? I mean, this team terrible, bro. And it blows me. But it is what it is. Because if they can find a diamond in the rough in this draft, this confusing draft, which I don't really see any real superstars, then we're on to something. Already, people are looking forward to the draft after that when Cooper Flagg comes available. The question is, though, will we still be terrible? Odds are we probably will be. And will we draft Cooper Flagg? Is he even going to be that good? Because I could have sworn Mataz Vazilis was going to be number one. And then it was Ron Holland. And it's just this keeps going on and on. I don't know who's going to be the number one pick in this draft. And the Wizards might have the number one pick. And the Wizards officially are tied for the worst odds to win the NBA championship. Damn! I just saw that on the Fox Sports 1 ticker. Oh, man. If you put your money on that at this point, you are just hoping for miracles, or God told you something that he didn't tell anyone else. Because it ain't happening. It's okay. No one was looking to win the title anyway. That's fine. You know what bet I do want to make? There's a bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. The Wizards, plus or minus 15 wins to finish the season. As bad as the Wizards are, I want to take that bet. And I'm going to take the over on that. Them being under 15 wins is minus money. Them having more than 15 wins is plus money. So FanDuel Sportsbook think that they're going to have less than 15 wins. I think they put 15.5, which is annoying, because if they get 15 exactly, man, I'm eating. But I'm going to make that bet because I truly believe they're going to have a winning streak at some point. I know it sounds funny, but stay with me now. They're going to have a winning streak at some point. It's going to happen. Don't sleep now. Do not sleep. Hey, nah, that's not funny, dog. It's not funny. I'm serious. But anyway, I went to the Cleveland game on Sunday with my good friend Zach. Shout out to him. He's a Cleveland fan. We've been trying to get this together for a while. You know, being together, watching our two favorite teams in the NBA. And I'm just like, man, I know we're going to lose, but by how much? And, you know, this team surprised me. They were in it in the first half. It was a close game. We kind of limited Donovan Mitchell, or maybe Donovan Mitchell just was coasting and didn't shoot well. That could have been it, too. But we couldn't stop Jared Allen. I really thought Jared Allen was going to have, like, 35 and 15. I really thought he was just going to go eight. Now, we kind of shut him down. Oh, wow. Donovan Mitchell had 40 the first time we played them. Hey, you know what's funny? We lost to them 114-106 on February 7th, a game where, well, I had my own game to play. That was a game we lost to a team where they had this big guy who scored most of their points. He had to have like 30. He killed us. And we only lost by 3. So imagine if we cut his points in half. We would have won by double digits. Anyway, that's another story for another day. But then on the 25th with Zach, we lose 114-105. That is scary. But this time, though, Donovan Mitchell, see, he had 40 the first time. The second time, he had 16 on 4 for 10 shooting and 3 for 6 from 3. Yeah, he was coasting. Let's just be honest. Jared Allen, he had 22 and 12. Okay, all right. Most of that was in the first half, I promise you. Let's see. Yeah, Caris LeVert, 18. He killed us in the second half on both ends of the floor, because When Jordan Poole got hot, they took Strus off of him. Then they put Okoro on him. Then Jordan Poole cooked Okoro. They took Okoro out the game and put LeVert in. And then that's when, you know, Jordan Poole started forcing things, and LeVert made him work harder for his buckets. He didn't shut him down. He just made him work harder. And then, of course, that's when he started missing. Now, about that Jordan Poole thing, he had a 10-0 run by himself. He had 31 points off the bench. He played 38 minutes. We started Koulibaly. He only played 6 minutes. What? We might as well just put him back in the starting lineup. We not doing anything anyway. We started Landry Shamet. Landry Shamet didn't have a bad game. 15 points, 5 rebounds. That's not bad. That's not bad. What about Tyus Jones? Not enough is being talked about Tyus Jones, because Tyus Jones had 11 assists, and then he had 17 assists versus Golden State. He only averaged 7 assists a game. I'm kind of surprised by that. It's going to keep going up, because he dishing that rock now. He is really dishing that rock. He is serving him up like a brunch place on Saturday. He's like Sequoia, Founding Farmers, Milk and Honey all rolled up into one. You know how DC loves their brunch spots. Yeah, I mean, those are some positive things. But we still lose. I mean, come on, bro. We was up 94-88. Jordan Poole just went crazy. You know what? I've never seen that from Jordan Poole. I could tell Jordan Poole just was on another stratosphere mentally. Because once he got a few shots to fall, that's when he started being aggressive. That's when he started going to the rim and no one was stopping him. That's when he started hitting that step back. Like, I could just see the energy shift from Jordan Poole, and he went crazy. Now, when they started not doubling, but when they started playing tougher defense on him, he was kicking them out for open threes. His teammates was missing him, and that was the beginning of the end. Once he started kicking it out and his teammates started missing, I knew we were in trouble, because we just went cold after we went up 94-88. Once we went up 94-88, 18-3 run right after that.
Game over.
What can you do in that situation? Just fell apart like we always do. But at least it was a better effort than getting blown out in Denver and getting blown out in OKC. Come on, man. OKC's backups was killing us. Like, I predicted that, though. I knew that was going to happen. Watching that game, I was like, they're not stopping anybody. The backups are going to score on us. And that's exactly what happened. The guys at the end of the bench were scoring points. Much better effort on Sunday. They just fell short because they just decided to go cold at the wrong time. And then the Cavs, they just kept them arms distance. Once they got that little boost and went up 9, they just pretty much kept it at a distance. I think maybe the Wizards got it to like 4 or 5 at one point. But then, you know, they score a few buckets, like Garland will take someone off the dribble. Donovan Mitchell drew a foul. And I think he made a 3 also. We let Mobley get a few uncontested dunks. And then all of a sudden it's over. The effort was good, but it wasn't enough. Should have won that game. Now, the Warriors game, I wanted to go to, but it was another one of them things where if I was doing what I was supposed to do and working hard, which I'm not, I'm in this funk where I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm not making money. So I had to go out and work. So I had to do that. So I couldn't go to the Warriors game. So I decided to listen on the radio. This is a close game. It's a dream. Only down 2. We're going toe-to-toe with the Warriors. Steph Curry has 0 points.
What?
Yes, you heard that correctly. Steph Curry had 0 points at halftime in D.C. against arguably the worst team in the league. I cannot believe that happened. Even Klay Thompson, he may have had 10, 15 at the half. But then Klay Thompson goes off in the third quarter. They balloon the lead. And then in the fourth quarter, Steph finally gets the 18 and then we lose. Like, it's just the Wizards are terrible. I just got to live with that. It's obvious we're going to keep Denny Avia. I think we like Bagley, but it wouldn't hurt to get another big man, even in the draft. Jordan Poole, that's a tricky situation. He's getting paid the most money, but now he's a backup. But if he play like he did Sunday, I think we can let him play his contract. But they're going to find a way to get rid of him somehow. But then again, if he play like he did on Sunday, it will make it easier to trade him. We'll just see. We'll see. It's an interesting situation. Sometimes sometimes you just need to stop shooting and sit down somewhere. Now, Kuzma's the most consistent. He's our star. They could have traded him to Dallas. They didn't. Looks like they're committed to him for a little bit. I don't know. Like, I would love to trade him too. We ain't winning. Why not? But the Wizards overall, I like the effort they show on some nights, especially the last two nights. I felt like they were really competitive against the Warriors. It just really got out of hand in the third quarter. And if it wasn't for that, they might mess around and beat the Warriors. But this is the 2024 Wizards we're talking about, and they are on an 11-game losing streak. And now they got to play the Lakers in L.A. Now, sure, the Lakers are just above average, and the only reason they're above average is because they got LeBron and AD. But they're a better team, and we don't have an answer for LeBron and AD. So they're going to kill us. They're probably going to kill us. It is what it is. Follow my words. It is what it is. And also, the Warriors outscored the Wizards 38-17 in the third quarter. And the Wizards outscored them by 12 in the fourth. But it was too little too late. Klay Thompson had 25. He scored most of that or half of that in the third quarter. Ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. But this is the Wizards we're dealing with. And we just got to survive the rest of the season. I've been to two Wizards games. I'm trying to go to at least one more. We'll see. Just going for fun at this point. Or if I decide to finally get out of my shell and finally, you know, get out of my COVID slump and take a date there, sure. But I doubt it's going to happen. Like, come on, it's me. But the Wizards, man, trash. But I'm probably going to go watch them at least one more time. Now, DC United beat New England, had a hat trick by Beneke. That's a good start. I'm going to have to see more of this team. My kickball teammate works at DC United. She works at Audi Field, so she might hook me up with some free tickets, so I'll be in-house eventually. But I'm proud of them. That's a good start. Let me be clear. That was dope. So now they won 3-1. So let's just see what happens. The Spirit starts soon. They got all these kids. They got all these draft picks. They let go of two of my favorites. And they start March 17th. I think their home opener might be that day. It might be later. But they open against, at home, Bay FC. And obviously, they're a expansion team. It's funny how the NWSL is expanding way faster than the WNBA.
Come on, man.
And I'm a bigger fan of the WNBA. And I think the WNBA is older, if I'm not mistaken. So, man, come on, man. But I'm happy about it, though. I mean, the spirit is in Audi Field. NWSL is in Paramount Plus. I think it's them little TV and streaming deals. They're getting money from that. So they're able to expand. And they're going to keep expanding. The next thing you know, they're going to be on TV more often. And more people are going to watch them. It's a good watch. Now, to my DC folks, just it's another thing you can do on a nice day during the weekend. Go come watch the Spirit. Because it's fun. They usually play good soccer. They got good deals on food and drink. Well, I don't know about that. But sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they have good deals on club seats and cabana suites and all that. Sometimes they don't. They usually have good promotions. It's fun, man. I like this team. I want to see how they end up. Are they going to be like the Thunder and center around their young star, which is Trinity Rodman? Or are all these young players going to flop and Trinity Rodman go somewhere else and we got to start all over again? I don't know. Got to see. But I'm excited for the start of the Spirit. I got to watch more DC United. They're off to a fast start, but they got to go to Columbus soon. And I can't remember the last time they won in Columbus. So we're just going to have to see. I think we won one time in the last, like, 4 years. And I was kind of surprised by that win. But usually we go out there, we get killed. So I'm sure that's going to happen. They also play on my birthday, I think. They play here, close to my birthday or right before my birthday, something like that. My birthday's on a Sunday. So they're going to be here that weekend. And also got to pick an NFL game to go to. I think I want to do that on my birthday, is go to an NFL game. It's probably going to be, it should be an Eagles game. Hopefully the Eagles are at home. If the Eagles are at home, I'm going to the Eagles game for my birthday. Just letting y'all know. If the Eagles are at home, I'm going to the Eagles game. I don't care who they playing. I don't care how much it costs. I'm going if they playing at home on my birthday. And don't let them play the Washington sitcom on my birthday. That would be sick. But it'll also be sick, and I would be physically sick if we lost.
Facts.
That can't happen. That can't happen. Okay. I'll talk about the Sooners first. So, Oklahoma women swept Oklahoma State. I still haven't watched the highlights of that game, but I figured they was going to punish them. I was like, okay, they survived Oklahoma State's best shot at Gallagher-Ibor Arena. So I was like, so we got the better team. So when they come to Norman, they're going to get blown out. And that's exactly what happened. Punished them. Put B to A. It put belt to behind. I'm just going to say that. And I love it. I got to watch the highlights, but this team rolling, man. They still number one in the Big 12. Their only losses is to Kansas State and West Virginia. And seeing how Kansas State lost to Kansas with Ioka Lee, I'm starting to question how good they really are. But Oklahoma, women, number one in the Big 12. But they dropped to a 7th seed because they had a shaky non-conference and they lost to Southern.
Come on, man.
A team Texas beat by 50.
Damn!
But the same Oklahoma team beat Texas at home. It's weird. That's a weird triangle. But nevertheless, the committee doesn't like the Sooners' non-conference resume. That's why they keep sliding. In Texas, they beat UConn. That's why they keep rising. They beat UConn. and they beat some of the ranked teams in the Big 12. They beat Baylor twice. So, yeah, that's huge. That's huge in the committee's eyes. So, actually, Texas is number one. The committee loves Texas. The committee is iffy about OU women. But I hope they keep doing what they're doing. I love it. The men, on the men's side, they beat Oklahoma Fake. They beat the Oklahoma Fake Cowboys. And I love how they did this. The women played at Norman. And the men, like 2 hours later, played in Stillwater. So I knew the Stillwater game. I mean, the game in Norman was close. But I knew the game in Stillwater was going to be tougher. And Oklahoma State was leading most of the game. But I saw our Sooners pick up their energy and start to get confidence with each bucket in the last, like, 5 minutes. They played a little tougher defense. I just love how they fought in that game and came all the way back. Just some boneheaded plays at the end. I mean, we fouled the guy. He goes to the line. He misses the one-on-one. We don't grab the rebound. And we throw it out of bounds. I was sick. But they gave us a chance. 13 seconds ago. I think we were down 2, I believe. And Javion McCollum, like, when they need a bucket, they go to him. Early in the season, I was kind of cringing about that because he forced things, and that's how we get in trouble. And then that's when we usually lose games. But this time, everyone cleared out. It doesn't look like he was going to pass the ball at all. The guy that was on him was locking him up. He cut off all his angles to the basket. So he decided to back up. Then he hit a step back, and boom, the game was over. Buddy's not a rapper. Buddy's not a rapper. He's a shot maker. Shot taker. Boy, I love it, boy. I absolutely love it. People on Sooner X or Twitter was calling it the shot. Or at least OU basketball Twitter call it the shot. It's up there with Buddy's game winner against Texas. It's up there with Austin Reeves' shot against TCU. Or was it a layup? It's up there. From at least in recent memory. It's up there. And it was against Oklahoma State. So it's probably going to rank higher than those other. But then Buddy's shot was against Texas. So it's up there, man. And I went crazy. Me and Zach both yelled. And I dove on the floor. I was excited. And of course, I was on the X. Of course, I was on Twitter. And I was just laughing. Us Sooner fans had fun. Of course, Oklahoma State had to bring up football. They kind of took a page out of our playbook. But you can't bring up football when we lead the all-time series.
Facts.
We also lead in basketball, and also this internal scoreboard that you're talking about. Like football, you won the last Bedlam ever, so you got bragging rights till the end of time, whatever. But now we got it in basketball, whatever. At the end of the day, we better than you at both sports. Just saying. And if we play you in a tournament, you won't get this work again. I'm just saying. You ain't good enough. And Javion McCollum sent your people home. Ollie, say the line. There's only one Oklahoma. And it ends with fake. I mean, there's only one Oklahoma that ends with fake, and that's the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Which brings me to my next topic, though. I'm going to just transition into this, the college football video game. The college football video game, the hype is rising. The players are supposedly supposed to get $600 and a copy of the game. Apparently, Ollie Gordon is all in for that. The first thing I'm going to do is scrimmage Oklahoma State in an exhibition, and I'm going to try my best to beat them by 50. Just like the last time I played them in NCAA. Last time I played them in NCAA, I literally won 48-0. Damn! So stay tuned to that. Also, if it's anything like the old college football games where you could edit your schedules, I'm going to put them on the schedule. Bring that ass here, boy.
Get over here!
I can't wait. I can't wait. And I want to make a stream out of it. I want to make a stream. You know how in college I went week to week. I followed the actual schedule and played the opponent that Oklahoma played. Except I'm going to make some minor tweaks. I'm trying to make a stream out of that, so I got to buy all the equipment and set up. Hopefully I get to do that because I really want to because I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be fun. I'm very determined to do this. So stay tuned. And of course, I'll put Oklahoma fake on the schedule. Now, the college football game, the $600 thing, I know that's already split. You know, that's already, you know, mixed emotions, mixed opinions. Just, I know some people are outraged because we could have had the game all along if that's all it took to get everyone to buy in. But it's a lot of players, a lot of teams, and only so much money to go around. So I get it. I just hope this game comes out. It's just we've been talking about it forever. The hype is building. The demand is building. And, you know, when demand is high, you got to take advantage of it because people will throw money at you when there's a high demand for a product. See, I'm learning business from EA Sports and NCAA. I just got to get off my lazy behind and actually employ some of these tactics and create a product that is in high demand. Just saying. I'm just saying. And also back to the Sooners, Sooner basketball. They are like an 8-9 seed. I think they were a 7th seed too at one point. I think they moved down to 8. Their tournament future is in question. Obviously, they're going to need to do good in the Big 12 tournament, which is going to be hard because our conference is stacked. But if they can beat Texas or Houston, definitely got to beat Houston. We got Houston at home Saturday. We got Iowa State at home tonight on Wednesday, but this episode is probably coming out tomorrow or Friday. So hopefully by then we done beat Iowa State and then go on to beat Houston. I think if they do that, you can't deny them the tournament. I don't care how they do in the Big 12 tournament. Just saying. Just stay tuned, man. I'm rooting for my Sooners, both of them, women's and the men's. Also, shout out to Sooner softball, 67-game winning streak. I thought it was 50-something. No, it's 67 now. I forgot they play a bunch of games at one time, and now they're back home, and now they're going to continue the B2A tour at home. Boy, I feel sorry for y'all. But you know I'm waiting for. You know what I'm waiting for. Red River Rivalry in Norman, 1-2. I hope to because the Texas lost to Stanford. So that might take a hit on their ranking. But if they end up being number 2, I'm going to be hyped. I hope they're number 2. Because then we can put all the doubt to rest. I know they're going to play their hardest. But at the end of the day, I expect the Sooners to put belt 2 behind. And I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm hyped, man. Shout out to Kenzie Hansen, my favorite player. I know it's kind of a simp thing because she became my favorite player after I had one little conversation with her. But that conversation meant a lot to me because she just showed how amazing of a woman she is. But that's neither here nor there. Best of luck to them. I hope they bring it home. This 67-game winning streak is massive, and it couldn't happen to a more deserving group. And we're all rooting for them, and Sooner Nation loves them. Men and women, I think they're both basketball. They're both going to be in the tournament. I got to catch up on OU baseball. I haven't seen anything too out of the ordinary. I haven't seen anything too spectacular if they've done yet. Just going to have to stay tuned. Now, WNBA mock draft. Oh, and OU women's gymnastics is still number one. You can't stop them. Hopefully, I got to catch up with them too. Probably won't catch up with them until the NCAA tournament. Now, WNBA mock draft mania. I am obsessed with the WNBA mock draft because I want to see which one of these talented college players are going to go to the Mystics. But there's a little uneasiness with the rise of NIL. Because already we got Paige Bueckers coming back. I don't think Caitlin Clark is coming back, but she might. I think she should come out, but that's just me. Same thing with Cameron Brink. Angel Reese could come back. All these people can come back. The only people that are not coming back is the girl from Tennessee, Elizabeth Kitley, maybe one other person. Everyone else can come back to school. And it's just the whole top 10 is full of people who can come back to school. So the actual draft might end up being a dud and everyone's coming out next year. That could be the draft. That would make things complicated. Or we could end up having a bunch of fifth-year seniors. We don't even know if Angel Reese is coming back. We don't know. But I'm obsessed with it. And until they declare that they're coming back or not, they're all on these mock drafts. And I've seen that these mock drafts have the Mystics taking a big. So they're going to take either Camila Cardoso, if she's even there, or Angel Reese. Gotta take Angel Reese. If Angel Reese is there, not just for her ability to rebound and defend and her competitiveness, but her overall star power. That's like one of other than Caitlin Clark, this is the biggest star you can get. She will take over DC. I would love to have that. But I'll just think about this mock draft every day. Like, who are we gonna get? Are we gonna go big and go for Angel Reese, Elizabeth Kitley, Camila Cardoso? That's a big girl. She like 6'7". It just towers over everyone, even though she's 6'7", but she still towers over everyone. That's a big girl. I don't know if you watched. She played for South Carolina and I guess the Brazilian national team. Huge. I was like, man, what? She could be the next Liz Cambage, and I'm not even kidding. She'll obviously put on some weight, so she could be the next Liz Cambage. I would love that. Or are we going to go small and go for a Deja Kelly, who I'm starting to see in the second round, but I wouldn't mind taking her at 6 because I think she has a lot of James Harden to her. She has great step back. She has great crossover. She has great pull-up jumper. She has great finishing moves. And she's a little bit bigger than Georgia Amore. I think she's like 5'10"-ish. And Georgia Amore is like 5'6". But I love that Georgia Amore because Georgia Amore can shoot. She can run that pick and roll really well. She can score at will if she wants to. She is a combination of Allen Iverson, Steve Nash, and John Stockton. Oh! okay, I might be hyping her too much, but she is really good to me. I'd love to have her in DC. But it's just crazy how I'm obsessed with the WNBA mock draft, and I'm starting to pay less attention to the NFL mock drafts. Like, yeah, sure. I would love to see what the Commanders do, even though they should know their role and stay in last place. But I would love to see what they do at quarterback. Are they going to get Drake May? Are they going to get Jaden Daniels? Are they going to try to make a run at Caleb? I want to see if the Bears trade Justin Fields. I heard he's supposed to go to Atlanta. I heard he could go to Pittsburgh. I want to see that. I'm not really worried about who the Eagles get. They should get somebody on defense. That's obvious. But if you want to take the best player available and it just happens to be on offense, I'm cool with that too. Like I said, if you're going to take an offensive player, I don't mind having depth, because these players are human and they can get hurt and break down at any moment. So I don't mind having depth on offense, but I'm not that pressed about it. And I know this is probably blasphemous in the sports community because most people like NFL way more than WNBA. Actually, they make fun of the WNBA, think it's a joke. I think it's cool. I have fun watching it. A lot of people can't get into it, even women. But it's cool, man. I think you should give it a chance and just purely enjoy the competition of it. Some people enjoy the lustful aspects of it, and me too sometimes, but it's fun, man. It's good basketball to me. But to each their own. The WNBA mock draft is interesting because all those people that might come back or who will stay in the draft, like, it's going to be, I think it's going to be an interesting game of poker. And NIL plays a big factor in that. But we'll see, man. I'm definitely going to be looking at both. And I'm going to be looking at NBA mock drafts because the Wizards, I'm going to keep it real with you, they might just get the number one pick. And I hope whoever they pick at number one is someone we can build around and not someone we're going to have to stash on the Capital City Go-Go.
Facts.
For real. Okay. Oh, also, speaking of NFL and drafts and all that, I want to join the NFL Dynasty League. And I kind of stumbled upon this by accident. Well, okay, I was offered to join a Dynasty League last year, and I turned it down. For money, I turned it down. All right, cool. Now I'm interested. Do I want to do it for money? I'd rather not. I want to join a free one. So if you're out there listening and you want to have me join your Dynasty League, that'd be great. You know, hit my DM or something. But that'd be fun. It'd be something different. From my understanding of it, it's I think you keep the same teams and you can have draft picks and you can make trades and all that. It's just all year round. That's my interpretation of it. I think it's like running a dynasty in Madden. That's my interpretation of it. So from what I've seen, you can join one on Sleeper Fantasy. You can make one yourself and try to get people to join. Or you can go on some of these forums and look for people who have open teams or people who are accepting new people into their Dynasty League. Now I'm a rookie and I'm trying to figure things out. But I got inspired to do it from a tweet or an X. This fantasy guy I follow said, "What was your recent dynasty trade?" I didn't read the word dynasty. I thought it said, "What was your recent fantasy trade?" I don't trade much in fantasy, but I answered Jerome Ford for Dalton Schultz. I don't know what. Me taking that trade was dumb. It was a desperation move to add depth because I was having a disappointing season with my NFL.com team. So I wanted to add depth to try to make a last-ditch effort for the playoffs, and I had Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews got hurt literally the week after that. So I was lacking a tight end now after I made that trade. But nevertheless, it wasn't a dynasty trade. Someone on my thread was responding to me thinking I was talking about dynasty, and I wasn't. So they was like, this not bad if Nick Chubb is slow to come back and Schultz don't come back to the Texans. That's news to me. But I didn't think that was relevant to the question, but I knew he wasn't talking about regular dynasty then. And then the guy who posted the question DMs me. I guess the whole reason why he was asking that question was to market his Patreon that he uses to give fantasy advice and to make people, to get people to join the Discord chat and all that. He's selling his services and he's being aggressive about it. Okay, well, that's fair. I mean, in this economy, in capitalism, that's what you do. That's what you're supposed to do. So I was like, I've never played Dynasty before. It was like, wait a minute. Then why did you answer the question? I didn't see the word Dynasty in the damn question.
Come on, man.
I was loafing. But basically, man, I was starting wondering, what if I did make that same trade, but it wasn't a Dynasty league? Would that make sense? The only way I can find out is if I actually join a Dynasty League. So will I buy this guy's Patreon? Will I subscribe this Patreon? Which he has tiers that are as low as like $4 a month. I think maybe $7. I mean, it goes up and up and up. Of course, you know how Patreon works. For, I guess, the more money you subscribe for a month, the more services the, I guess, influencer or person who is the Patreon is for provides. The more services they provide, the more money you pay. Yeah, okay. All right, we'll see. But ultimately, it got me thinking I want to join a Dynasty League. So, hey, who trying to hook me up? Hopefully you answer now before I start digging in these forums and see which one I can join. I'm sure I have to do it before the draft, and I got to see if I want to include rookies in this. We'll see, man. We'll see. Oh, last thing, Trey Young is hurt. I'm sick. I don't know how he hurt his finger. Apparently, he tore a ligament in his finger. I am just heartbroken. He is just playing as well as he normally does. Averages a double-double like he always does. I mean, usually it's close to it. He had like 9 assists, but he's averaging a double-double this season. His team is doing so-so, hanging on to the last spot in the play-in, and he gets hurt. And then I thought about it later on. Like, this sucks because we don't get to see Trae Young play, but also, I don't get to see Trae Young play at the Garden.
Game over.
And you know seeing Trae Young at the Garden is always fun, and he always puts on a good show. Well, the last time, it was okay, but DeJounte took over, and he had a career game. I could still go, but I'm probably not. I'm probably going to see the Blue Man Group instead. I'm just sick. I'm hurt about this, man. And then you add the Madison Square Garden part to it. It just sucks. He's going to be reevaluated in 4 weeks. Season's pretty much over then. So if the Hawks can do enough to stay in the play-in tournament, he'll be able to play in the play-in tournament, I'm sure. But for now, he's going to be out for a month. And I'm sick. And I can't stand it. It looks like this season is a wash for the Hawks. And I don't know if they're going to blow up the team. Or they're going to try one more time to put legitimate talent around Trae Young. Of course, opinions are split on Trae Young. Me, I think he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. It's no doubt. I think he might break John Stockton's assist record. I think the world of this kid. There's some guys like Skip Bayless that think he's overrated and that the Hawks shouldn't build around him. Whatever your opinion is, it's sad that he don't get to play basketball for a month. And he's so much fun to watch. So I wish him a speedy recovery. And I hope rehab goes well. Anyway, man, GOATLevelTees.com for all things GOAT level. It's Mr. Van Pugh, man. You already know that. I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the GOAT Level Podcast. Make sure you share, subscribe, and get money.